name of Jesus. Send a light. Send a light. Oh Lord, hear our cry. Send a light into our soul. In the name of Jesus. Send a light. Send a light. Oh the name of Jesus. Offering of our soul. Lord, we pray that the thoughts of our hearts and the meditations thereof will be acceptable before you. And Lord, we ask that in mercy you will deal with us. For you are the only light that lighteneth every man. Lord, there is so much darkness within. And we come today, we say, oh God, send your light. Lock spirit. Let there be light. Let there be light, oh God. We ask, oh God, you might break down your word. You might make it that which will be bread and strength and like wine, even new wine. Lord, that you might come as the word, even as a living word. That might minister to everyone, every one man. At the point of his need. We just bless your name, glorify your name. For your presence in our midst is mighty. And we thank you for what you have done and what you will yet do. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus. I've had a burden. I still have a burden. It's so much that I really don't know what to say. And it's my prayer that, you know, it will be it will be passed across. Because it's not not in the words of what you know what you know it's not in English language. And you know what I'm sharing are the things I have seen, the burdens that the Lord has given to me. Not out of any self. There's no self in it. I can tell you. This morning when I came, I was just praying that the Lord will bring a word. I didn't even know I was going to say something. And then when we were praying upstairs, the Lord began to speak to me. And I just want to share you know, part of this burden. I really pray in my heart that you will not see me, but you can see into the heart of God. Because where we are, you may not know. We are in the midst of a battle, of a spiritual battle. And the Bible says that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge and then lack of wisdom. And the scripture that comes to me is that scripture that says that Ephraim, that was armed for battle. But in the day of the battle, he turned back. That is the scripture that's been coming to me. I've been praying for us as a people, not just us, but as I move around, I see the same situation. And in my heart bleeds, and I just pray. I say, God, that you might open our eyes to see. There's just one thing, just one burden I'd like to share. And this morning, God has shown us a practical manifestation of that burden. You know, the things we have dealt with, and it's not the end of it. You know, this is just the beginning. It's just you know, focusing on one, there's just one issue. And as I interact, as I listen to the brethren, you know, I see that we haven't quite gotten hold of the issue. Brethren, there is one, just one issue. And because the devil knows that we don't yet have a handle of it, we don't really still don't understand. He is able to run, he's able to, you know, play games with me. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. For you and for me, you know, you see, nobody is going to do it for you or will do it for me. I have to devise my own way of dealing with it. You know, whether you are old or young, whoever you are, you have to take it, you have to go to God, and you have to devise your own way of dealing with it. It says, and the earth was without form and void. And the next word is the issue. And darkness. God is concerned with darkness. And as I, even if I look at myself, I don't see that burden in my heart, and I don't see it amongst the brethren. I'm not talking about just this fellowship.
The people of God have not bought into God's interest. God has only one interest, and that is to destroy darkness. It has nothing to do with me. That is, I am not important. I mean, if you think of how big God is, we talk of, you're looking at stars, millions and trillions of stars, and you're talking about me. It is not about my happiness or how I feel or how I don't feel, my career or whatever. It is about darkness. God's plan to destroy darkness. And, you see, God will do the things he has to do. You know, he will bless you, provide for you, do all those things. Those things are just encouragement to be able to get to the issue, to come to the issue. And that issue is what? That God wants to destroy. He is in the process of judging darkness. Amen. It says, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness. I'm the one that shouted, not the microphone. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. But you see, it doesn't end there. Read the next. It says, and the Spirit of God was fluttering over the face of the dark waters. You know, so when you read through Genesis chapter 1, you see a lot of light. You know, and the thing is, God allowed darkness to come into me. You know, so he takes the people of God out of Egypt. So he's taking his son out of Egypt. But that is just so that the real work can begin. What is the real work? That he might take away darkness from his people. You know, so I'm just trying to summarize the message. So even if you don't hear the things I'm going to say before or after, you will have a witness. God has a witness that the vision is not that you come out of our assemblies of God, you share, I share, all those things we talk about. The vision is that God is in the process of judging and destroying darkness. Amen. And Genesis chapter 1, going up to 2, you can even run down the whole of Genesis, gives us principles of how we can cooperate with God to judge darkness. Now, the measurement, what measures me is how much darkness am I able to remove out of me. So the Bible says one star will differ from another star in glory. What determines that measurement is how much of darkness I personally have been able to remove out of me. And you are here, you know, and I'm here to encourage you, and you are here to encourage me, in the process of judging darkness, of dealing with darkness. So God is not in a hurry. So 1,000 years is just like one day, because it has to be a thorough, there's not going to be another opportunity. The devil himself is not even darkness. Well, we won't get into that now. So, you see, the principle of darkness is so deep and so vast that, you see, the devil is so sure that we will never get a hold of it. We will never be able to come to it. But we thank God because God is beginning to equip us. So how can I overcome darkness within me? How can I deal with it? What is the process? So when we come down to the next verse, verse 3, it says, "And God said, let there be light." You know, the Greeks would say logosphere. Let there be light. So you would think that if God said let there be light, then the whole matter is over. Then light spread everywhere. But that wasn't so, and that is not so. Because it is a process of creation. Every one of us here, we are creating ourselves. You and I are creating ourselves. We are determining the kind of creature we will be. We are determining our nature. Thank God. We are determining our nature.
This one is not wanted to prop the other one.
So we are determining our nature. The devil was created. He doesn't have creative power. Amen. So let's just say that. He was created. Amen. He doesn't have. No. But because I'm going to jump up and down because I don't have time. But let's look at Genesis 1:26. It gives us Genesis 1:26. In verse 3, it says, "Let there be light," and there was light. That's the background. Verse 26 says, "And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness." Now, what is the likeness of God? "Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing." "And over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female. Did he say he created him in his likeness? Let's read it again. So it's up on the board, so read while I read this one. It says, God said, "Let us make man in our own image, in our own likeness." All right? And then he goes down, verse 27, says, "Say, God created man in his own image. In the image of God created in him, male and female." So something is missing. The likeness. The likeness. That aspect you and I will have to deal with. You know, so when I said this, I was saying last week, and the same body came back again today. When I'm offended, when you are offended, don't think of the person that offended you. Start crying. You say, "God, I am now in trouble." That is, I have been offended. It is the way I deal with that offense that is more important than the person that offended me. Now, the reason for that is because of the matter of darkness. Now, if we understand that, you see, we will understand that the issues that we face, you know, what are we talking about? We are discussing natures. He talks about the nature of the fish, the nature of the bird, the nature of the wild animals, and then he talks about the nature of the creeping things. Now, these are natures of the soul. And every soul operates at three levels. And you as an individual, you have to make a decision. I will encourage you to make a decision. And the decision is to say, what kind of creature, what kind of creation do you want to be? Because God says, He made the man, He says, you must have dominion over. So someone will say, well, what's the connection? The connection is that God went to Peter, said He lowered. You know, so there was a sheet that came. What was inside the sheet? All manner of creatures. The same things mentioned here. The same things. Acts chapter 10 is exactly the same thing as Genesis 1. And the man said, God, our Lord Moses said we shouldn't do so and so. God said, what I have cleansed, do not call. What was the connection? What lesson was God telling him? God was telling him that the people who were waiting in the sitting room are also part of God's covenant. In other words, so God was using and speaking in symbols. So when you look at all those things, God is speaking of the nature of the soul. And by the way, if you go to Ezekiel, what do you see there? You know creatures you see? You see the lion, you see the bird, you see. He's speaking of the natures of the soul. And God says, you and I must make it. It's a personal decision. Am I going to be like the creeping? You know, it's a nature that is bound to the earth. That's the creeping. Or, that, but being bound to the earth means what we're talking about, forgiveness. That is, an issue has arisen. And you are not able to rise above it. That I'm not able to rise above it. Now, when you look at Ezekiel, the cherubims there had four wings. The ones in Revelation had six wings. How did they get the two extra wings? And if you look at Revelation 12, it said there was a woman, she was in the place of dryness. She was in a place of death. She was in a place of strife, contention, no life. It's called wilderness. Not in the garden. Because the garden is the opposite of the wilderness. And the Bible said that there was a flood coming from the devil. And it says that the wings of her ego were given to the woman, and she was able to fly. She was able to rise above the situation. There is a commission from God. And that commission of God has to do with the soul. Brother Tess brought a word to us. He talked about the soul. And I happen to know, because we, the people, we are continually in a low place. So most of the time, he couldn't even get into the depth of the word. And brethren, we need to rise. We need to rise. We need to come up higher. It is an insult to God and an insult to you and to me to think that the temple of God is this building. The temple of God is eternal, and the soul of man is eternal. So the investment God is making is an eternal investment. And the Bible says that the Most High does not dwell in temples made with hands. Even in end time circles, I'm not talking about even me, I look at myself and I do not see myself as a temple of. I do not operate. I do not carry on my life as one who is the dwelling place of God. Brethren, that is the bottom line. And if you do not, if I do not carry on my life as a priest, as a temple, I cannot make it. I'm telling you, I'm going to struggle with so many things. Okay, let's look at the scripture, because we don't have time. Now, the Bible says that those who are in the flesh, what do? They mind fleshly things. It is simple English language. Those who are in the spirit, what do? They mind spiritual things. The key is the mind. So there are three levels. We have not even gotten there. We are still struggling with soul. It is the first level is the soul. The second level is the mind. And the third level is the loins of the mind, the conscience. That is the level. And the name of the game is whoever controls the mind wins the war. Even those who play football now, they use psychological warfare, isn't it? They will intimidate you. They do all sorts of things to destabilize you emotionally. And if you lose it in your mind, the battle is over. Amen. Amen. Being in the flesh, being in the spirit, is a function of the mind. It's a function of the mind. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
Say amen very well.
Amen.
Hallelujah. We're talking about darkness. What does the Bible say about the mind? It says that the God of this world has done what? Has blinded the minds of them who do not believe. Okay, let's look at those who have believed. What did Paul say about those who have believed? He said, even until this day, there remains a veil over the minds of the people. Whenever the Old Testament is what? So both those who are outside and those who have come into God have an issue to settle with the mind. We have an issue to settle with the mind. Now, what did Paul say? Paul said, the things I do not want to do are the things I find myself doing. And the things that I want to do, I am not able to do. Who is saying this? Paul. Brother Paul. Well, he has taken away shame from my face. So, and I thank God. When God showed me, I said, praise God. Because I was hearing it, I didn't see the scripture. When I saw it, I said, very good. At least Paul has the same problem that I have. Amen. But you see, scripture doesn't end there. It says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk in the flesh. Meaning that you can be in Christ Jesus and walk in the flesh. What is English language? It says there is therefore no condemnation. Amen. Say amen now.
Amen.
There is therefore now no condemnation. Or read it the other way. There will be condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk in the flesh. Okay. Who walk in the flesh. Okay. So there are two, it's like this room, this way and that way. There is light and there is darkness. And right from Genesis chapter 1, God went down to the business. In John chapter 2, Jesus did not waste time. He went to them, they came around and said, look, let me hit the point. Destroy this temple. In 3 days, I will raise it up. Because he was speaking of the temple of his
body.
But Paul was telling us something. He said, I then find a law. I then find a law in my members. And Paul said, sin dwelleth in me. Paul identified something. He called it sin. I called it darkness. It's the same thing. He identified the fact that there was, say, I find a law in my members causing me to do what I do not want to do. So the question is, God allowed the darkness to come into me. And what does God say I should do about the darkness? He says I should drive out the inhabitants. So he took the people into the promised land. They went there, the promised land was already occupied. It wasn't empty. What did he say to them? This is the land I've given to you. But you get it on the condition that you do what? You drive out the inhabitants thereof. There's another part of it. We will come to it. But even that aspect of driving out, they could not do it. They left some pockets. And the Bible says that those things that they left became thorns in their flesh. It became things in their eyes. It caused a problem. I want to give you a scripture. Numbers 33:52 says that when you enter into the land, please, you can show it if you can. We'll go back to Genesis. It's an important scripture. It says, when you go into the land, drive out the inhabitants. But it didn't stop there. It says, destroy Numbers 33:52. Are you there? It says, destroy their temples. Break down the images. And destroy the pictures. So these are the effects of the darkness. He said, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. It doesn't stop there. What do you say? He said, you destroy their pictures and destroy all their molten images. And quite pluck down all their high places. Amen. This scripture is not for you and me, is it not so? It is in the Old Testament. Brother, I think so. So maybe we should just tear out the Old Testament. Like that brother, sister, welcome. We entered the meeting and there was nothing in the Bible because she had been tearing it out. So let's tear the Old Testament and throw it away because it has no relevance to us. Okay? But God said, out of Egypt I have called my son. Alright? So God calls you out of Egypt, but Egypt has to come out of you. And the reason why God called us is that he might bring us, say, we are the called out, that he might call out. Many are called. He calls many out, that out of the many he has called, he might sit down and choose. And the basis of choosing is what? That the vessel might have the likeness of God. The likeness of God is light. I don't know if you, because I'm landed. God created man in his image. You can hear, God can hear. You can speak, God can speak. You can, what else? You can move, God can move. You can see, God can see. You can smell, God can descend. So, in the physical appearance, man has three natures. God has three natures. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost. Man has spirit, soul, body. That is the image of God. That does not make man Elohim. Oh, sorry, that was not make man Jehovah, because man was created in the nature of God. So in certain scriptures they say, well, man is Elohim. That means he has the nature of God. But man is not Jehovah, because only God is the Jehovah. Amen. Amen. So that should settle the matter of ye are gods, all those things. So just close it and finish it. Man was created in the nature of God. Man is a high one. Man has a creative ability. And that is why you and I were endangered. We have what the devil wants. The devil needs my mind to bring forth darkness. And the first doctrine of Christ is what? Repentance from the dead works from the mind. That's the first foundation of the doctrine of Christ. Repentance from dead works. The devil needs your mind to bring forth and propagate darkness. Amen. Without man, there won't be any darkness. The darkness that spread all over this world is as a result of my activity, the activity of my mind. And the only reason why I fall into sin is that the devil has control of my mind. So he says, he made a promise. And he says, you promise, he said, thou will not leave my soul in hell. Hallelujah. The Philistines, they captured Saul, isn't it not so? They carried him, took him to the temple of Dagon. His brothers came through the night, fought, took, they recovered his body. Where is his head? His head was still pinned to the temple of Ashtaroth. The devil wants the mind. And that is why he is doing everything to pollute the mind. So it says that the God of this world has done what? Blinded. You cannot be a priest of darkness unless you wear the garment of darkness. Right from the time of Adam, his mind was clothed to function as a priest of darkness. So Bible says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity. And in sin did my mother conceive me. So say, man that is born of a woman is born and immediately begins to commit sin. The problem is in the mind. And God expects this congregation, expects you and me to fight. It is a fight to finish. But you must know the enemy you are fighting. You must know. I tell somebody, say, you have to pick your fight. Not everything that comes to your God. Anyone that drums, anyone that drums. That is this man, it's indiscipline. Just take him out. You have to pick your fight. And any one of us today, 2013, that you do not understand, it says that we should abstain from fleshly law that does what? That war. The battle is in the mind. The battle is going to be won and lost in the mind. Hallelujah. And mark it. If you wrong with this word, you will never be the same. Just mark it somewhere. Because he says that God found fault with the Old Testament. Why did he find fault with the Old Testament? Romans, the same Romans chapter 8. He said that God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh. For what? For sin. The reason why Jesus came was for sin, for darkness. That's why he came. God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, that we might receive the likeness of God. Can't you see? So God came in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin. Destroyed sin in the flesh. Hallelujah. So there's no excuse. And the Bible says, if the same spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, hallelujah, that same spirit will do what? Will bring life So the Spirit is a life-giving Spirit. The blood is a life-giving blood. And the Word is a life-giving Word. So we have three things that are working for us. And God expects you as a priest to know how to use 1, 2, 3 to drive out the darkness from within. Amen. When you get married, without God, marriage is not for the physical whatever. Marriage is that I might overcome. Amen. So, however, if God gives me a job, is that that job should help me drive out the darkness in me. You see, there is a mentality that you must have and I must have. The Bible says that no man that worries entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may acquit himself as what? A soldier. What is the soldier fighting against? He said, we rest not against what?
Flesh
and blood, but against spirit, principalities. Where are they functioning? In the high places. So that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God. To do what? To the pulling down of what?
Strongholds.
Where are the strongholds? In the imaginations. Hallelujah. Amen. Brethren, the name of the game is darkness. I wish I could open my heart and write it, use barrel, mark it. I wish everything that I will see will be darkness. That I am conscious, I am fighting darkness. Amen. But do you know the thing about the darkness? It is good and evil. That's the thing about the darkness. It's good and evil. That's the seed the woman ate, isn't it also, brother? It's good. Good and evil, is it good? God is light. And in him is no... If there is darkness at all, then it is not God. Hallelujah. We can color it, oh. We can break it down, oh. We can... So the standard of God standeth sure. It's not going to be lower for me. And brethren, we need to come up higher.
Amen.
We have not fought darkness. Well, I'm saying with authority because I know I have not fought. I'm just trying to come around to it. And I see my brethren, we have not fought darkness. Darkness has not been our passion. To fight it. And because it is not our passion, we are carried about by every wind of doctrine. Amen. There is a war going on. While in that vigil, and God began to speak, I was praying, I saw something. I'm not like Isaac or my other people that will see. Me, I see my own differently. I saw in the spirit. I can't explain to you. But what I saw was like something like a wilderness, and I saw spirit. And God said there are wild animals. Wild beasts have been released. Some of them are called cancer. Some are called diabetes. Some are called hatred. Some are called... They are moving around. They have been let loose. Because Revelation chapter 9 says that he opened the bottomless pit. And out of it came what? Spirits. Dark spirits. Like locusts. And when they came, they began to overshadow the light. They began to overshadow the sun, the moon, and so on. They darkened everywhere. So you look around the world now, it's darkness all through. By the way, the address of our country has changed. It's now called Sodom. Do you know that is the name of your country? We are now living in Sodom officially. You can take that. We now live in a place called Sodom officially. Amen. Okay, you shouldn't say amen. You want to lose it. Okay, you can lose. But when you finish losing, you must enter your room and decide what you will do about it. Because they are spirits. It didn't just happen like that. It means that the darkness has gone one more level higher. It's one more level higher. So, because, and that means that God has released grace to deal with that which is running. God will not release it unless there is grace. And brethren, that's why we must change our mentality. We have a church mentality. It will not work. The battle is here. It's in my mind. The battle. The soul must eat. The soul must have energy. If it's not going to get it from God, it must get it. Where will it get it from? Darkness. It is called thinking out of the box. If God made the creatures and they are, he said that they ran and returned like flash of lightning. It's very simple. What the devil did it's not rocket science. It is simple. If the man has the nature of light, then he can have the nature of darkness. So all he needed to do was to introduce darkness into the nature of man, and the soul fell. And ever since, the soul has been operating in the regions of darkness. Bible said that man loved darkness rather than light. Now, why am I emphasizing it? That the reason why I'm emphasizing it is that the solution God has given to us, we are not taking advantage of it. There is a solution. And that solution is provided in the tabernacle. In the tabernacle, there are two experiences. There are two experiences that bring light into the soul. There are two experiences that bring light into the soul. So, I take it that we are familiar with the tabernacle. Because in the holy place, there are two places. The lampstand, which speaks of the ministry of the Holy Ghost, and then in the table of shewbread, which speaks of the ministry of the bread. That those are the two wings of the ego the soul must get. Those are the two extra wings you need to rise above offense, to rise above the temptations, to rise against. There's a flood coming from the devil. It's going to overwhelm. I find myself overwhelmed every so often, and I go to God and say, get up, go fight. So after you finish crying, get up, go and fight. God must have sons. So the kingdom of God suffers violence, and men of violence must take it by force. Amen. I don't care the grammar. I must find myself at the lampstand. I must find myself at the table. Hallelujah. Look, see, the seventh trumpet is a message of change. It is the last trumpet. And it is the trumpet of the king. Because that is the trumpet that is calling the bride to the marriage. All that we are hearing today is the message of the bridegroom. Message of the bridegroom will not take you to the throne. What is the message of the bride? Message of the bride is bride days. God, buy my shoes for me. It's all about bless me, prosperity, forget it. It will not take you to the throne. The only message that will make a difference is the message of the bridegroom. That is bridegroom based, Christ based, date to self. He says, I must decrease, and he must increase. That is the message of the bridegroom. And the Bible said that you must hear the voice of the bridegroom, and he cries at midnight. And brethren, I hope you know, we are marching every day into midnight. Every day we are marching into midnight. We have not yet reached, but every day. Somebody says, oh, Boko Haram, forget it. Boko Haram is fading. Another one is going to come. Because their spirit So whether it's kidnapping or cancer or diabetes or hypertension, or these are spirits that have an authority from God to function. Because God says, I will choose my people in the crucible of what? Affliction. In the midst of the affliction, that's when the sons will come. When it is dark, that's when the sons of God will arise and break the darkness. So, if you understand darkness, then when you see trouble, you're not going to buckle. When trouble comes, you know that trouble has come to be bread for you. He said that it will make our enemies to be bread for us. Do you understand? It is the trouble that comes against you that stresses you. Amen. For sure, when I am tried, I shall do what? Come forth as gold. Hallelujah. I used to know a brother that says, I like trouble. His name is Denikon. Say, I like trouble. Have you met somebody that likes trouble? Say, I like trouble. Why? Because when God sends trouble to you, He has sent strength to you. Okay, no amen. Okay, one amen. Well, yes, it's not good for our flesh. Even myself, as I'm sitting, my heart is shaking. Yes, we don't like it. That means that this affliction is not good. It's not so. But afterward, it worketh the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Amen. So when God chastens you, it's for a purpose. That He might bring, it's just like you have your children. You know what He says. God, the man is crying. You know. But the father sees that this is the best solution. You know, I remember a few years ago, one man banned, said, no more Okada in River State. Oh, wicked man. After 2 weeks, problem solved. Taxi everywhere. Do you understand? After 2 weeks, taxi everywhere. We have forgotten Okada. Brother, are you at Okada again? Are you at Okada? But anyway, come back now, you do like this, the man stops, you go your way. But then that is what he says, that if we suffer with him, we shall be glorified with him. So, I'm trying to pass across a message that this warfare is about darkness, and the darkness is within. And it is my responsibility to drive away my darkness. And when I have succeeded, I might help my brethren also drive their darkness. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. I was talking about the lampstand and the table of shewbread. The two things that bring light into the soul. Now, we have to understand. Now, there is a prophetic calendar. And that's another problem I have. Well, not really a problem. I don't have a problem. It's just something that wearies my soul. It appears that we have lost touch with the prophetic calendar of God. And brother, we cannot function as a people that do not know where we are going to. There is a prophetic calendar. Amen. The Bible says you have three feasts. The first one is called Passover. The second one is called Pentecost. And the last one is called Tabernacles. Okay? Now, this last feast has three components. Three. The first one is what you call blowing the trumpet. And what does the trumpet say to you? Go beyond Pentecost. All right? Now, Pentecost is an outer court experience. It's an experience to sanctify my soul into the heaven. That's what it is. It is a baptism. On the second day, it says, let there be a firmament in the midst of the heavens. There are waters above the firmament, and there are waters below the firmament. In other words, the Bible says that the water, anywhere you see water, is a piece of souls. Revelation 17 says that the waters that you see are what? There are peoples and nations and souls. So he's saying that there are a people that are going to overcome, that are going to rise above the realm of darkness. And God expects you and me to be able to have an understanding of what He says to us. Baptism, the baptism of the Holy Ghost that is at the laver, the second experience, is meant to sanctify the soul. It's meant to reintroduce the soul into Eden. Amen. That is the crux of the issue. Man can sit down for 3 hours watching football. Why is he doing that? He is looking for entertainment. He's looking for nourishment. The Bible says that the joy of the Lord is my strength. That means, brother says, taught us that the angels, they feed. How do they feed, brother? Well, by phrase, but what it is that they are feeding on the joy of the Lord. When you feed on the joy of the Lord, you'll be strong. Try it. When you hear God's voice, when I hear God's voice, I feel like jumping, like I can jump this building. If I hear God's word on a matter, it's closed. Is anybody like me here? Okay, only me. Why am I only me now? You know, you say you're looking for a word. You're looking for a word. You're looking for a word. Why are you looking for a word? Because when you hear that word, the entrance of the word gives light. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Do you understand? And when once you have gotten faith, the battle is over. Why? Because you have heard the word of God. He told Peter, walk. The man began to walk on water. He was walking on the word of God. Amen. And when you have heard the word of God, there is nothing that can stop you. Amen. Hallelujah. And the Bible says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Okay, let's do a test. How many people in this room heard the voice of God in the last 1 week? Don't raise your hand, though. You just answer inside. That in this past week, you have heard the voice of God. I just said, praise God, you heard this one. not just your own word. You know the sweet voice of God. When you hear it, you feel like dying. Amen. That you heard it. Think of when you are hearing that word per second. That means it's a river flowing. Don't you understand? It's a river flowing down to you. And that's what Adam was enjoying. There was a river flowing into his soul. God made the soul. God will feed the soul. Okay, very few amen. My soul doesn't need entertainment, all these things. That desire that, if you pardon me, there are darkness. I know you're quarrel with that. That's what I call good darkness. Good darkness is the darkness, the good part of good and evil is what I call good darkness. It's good and evil, but it looks good. But inside it, a lot of trouble. Because when you finish watching that football match, they were advertising that they have another tournament starting next week. Just before that one finished, they said they have another one that are coming. So you go from tournament to tournament, TV to TV, TV to TV. And the Bible said that they shall desire death, it shall not come to them. Do you understand? That is, you are looking for life in the region of the dead. Well, I'm telling you about myself. That is, because see, it is called appetite. It is called the spirit of greed. It's called the spirit of what? Gluttony. These are the spirits that walk with desire, with lust. Bible says you have and you have not enough. Okay, you have money. Can you imagine a man who has money, millionaire, committing suicide? What is his problem? How would somebody who is a millionaire commit suicide? He's only telling you that there is a bottomless pit that has opened in his soul. And all the things you put in will not satisfy. Amen. The soul must feed. But brethren, God is saying, you and I have to make a decision. I will not feed on death. I will not eat the sacrifices of the dead. Hallelujah. There is only one thing that can satisfy. Amen. It says, wherewithan shall a young man cleanse his way? Amen. Say, thy word have I hid in my heart. Amen. You have to hide it. How can you hide it? You have read, you just read scripture. 5 minutes, you ask your brother, what, where did you read this morning? He said, yeah. I don't forget to. Yes, we are laughing about it. But he's telling you the state of the church. Amen. Who is it that makes sure that those things do not come into you? The Bible said that he sowed seed. Is it not so? And that he fell by the wayside. What happened? That because they did not have knowledge. Amen. The enemy came and took it away. He didn't profit. Amen. I want to begin to close this message because I can go on and on and on. But brethren, we have a choice to walk in the tabernacle. It is a practical guide. The Bible says the spirit of the Lord, of man, is the candle of the Lord, giving light to the inward parts of the belly. Why do you give light to the belly if it has light? Why would you take light to where there is light? And the scripture says, be careful. A sister read that scripture about 2 Sundays ago. It said, take heed that the light that be in you is not what? Darkness is light, brethren. According to God's definition. Our own definition is not light. God's definition says darkness is what? Light. But a very low. In fact, in the outer court itself, outer court is light. You know it is the realm of heaven? Yes. 6 o'clock is overtaken by darkness. God is saying, do not abide there. Even when you come to the holy place, the only light of the holy place is from the lampstand. It's the light of the Spirit. Brethren, you need an inner light. I need an inner light. And it is a light that comes from the Spirit. Amen. And you see, it's like a light that shines in a dark place. And shines brighter and brighter. Until what happens? Until the day dawns. What is the day? Until your soul becomes like a sun. That's what it means. My soul must have the nature of God, likeness, the nature of the sun. Hallelujah. Now, when you bring something dark to the sun, what happens? It judges it. So the Bible says we are children of the light. Amen. Say amen now. That's a good one. We are children of the light. That means, like scripture says, do not let the sun go down on your anger. Somebody says, no. Just say, you woman, I'm waiting for. I have between now and 4 o'clock before the sun goes down to see you. Because I'm waiting for the sun to go down. You know, so the brother is preaching. The man says, no, the sun has not gone down on my anger yet. I have the right to be angry. Amen. What it means is that the light in me, in my soul, is so low that ordinary bitterness, somebody dealing with you, you are offended. That's what it means. Because if you have light in you, the brother then greets you, God, bless my brother. Maybe he has a problem. Oh God, bless him. You're not going to be thinking, oh, he didn't greet you because he didn't do this, he didn't do this. It is a function of the state of the mind. The mind is abiding in darkness. Darkness has taken the mind prison, I hope you know. Amen. Darkness arrested the mind. That's what Paul was saying. I find another law in my member. Foreigners have invaded my soul, and they have captured my mind. The mind is the chief of the soul. Don't you understand? Hallelujah. I can talk about it now. The mind has four natures. The mind has four natures. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's talk about the first one. The scripture uses the word, the Greek uses the word gnosis, that's to know. So they say, those who say they don't believe in God, they call them agnostics. They don't believe in God. But you see, the mind is a sense organ. The mind was created as a sensor. That is, it's able to perceive the things in its environment. Amen. And the mind has two natures. Has a lower nature, which is carnal, earthly, and has a higher nature, which is spiritual. Because when God made Adam, he breathed his breath, and he took the clay. So there are two natures. So the mind is a place of traffic. It is a place where two worlds meet, the spiritual and the physical. They meet in the mind. And even in the way you are created now, your mind, your brain, is the part of the body that is in fellowship with the mind. So there are chemicals in you. If those chemicals are released, you smile, or you are moody, or you are happy. So the mind is in fellowship with the mood, with the soul. And the soul is in fellowship with the spirit. So God will speak to you. So he says, the words that I speak to you, which are coming from your mind, are what? Spirit and life. So the mind is the key. It's the doorway. It's the doorway. And whoever wins the mind has won the battle. But thank God, he says, but we have the mind of Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So he says, eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. You know so? Nor entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for man. Don't stop there. But God has revealed them to us by his spirit that dwelleth in us. So who is it that knows the things of a man except his spirit? Who is it that knows the things of God except the spirit of God? But the spirit of God is fellowshipping with our own spirit, you know so? Hallelujah. That we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. Brethren, we are talking about a place called a place of milky and honey. Milky and honey. Amen. So it's taking us to a land of milky and honey. You know that's what? Milky and honey? Milky and honey. That is the realm of the spirit. The devil has told us it is a place that is dull. The heaven, Isaac will not be in heaven. Oh, sorry, you'll be in heaven, brother. God bless you. Yeah, heaven already. It's a fella, it's a hell, so we'll go to hell and that's a fella. Amen. You know, that's what some people say. Brethren, eye has not seen. Ear has not heard. But some people are hearing and seeing those things. Because this revelation of Jesus Christ is being manifested, is flowing down to them. Brethren, just a minute. Do you know that the word of God is living? The word of God is what? Living. Hallelujah. It's not just thus says the Lord. Read it. The word of God is living. It lives. It's a person. Hallelujah. And that word comes to you and begins to feed you, feed your soul. Hallelujah. It's called hidden manna. Brethren, I said God changed my appetite. Hallelujah. He says, we shall be changed in the twinkling of an eye. My focus must twinkle. Hallelujah. We shall be changed in the change of the focus of our mind. Right now, our mind is in the flesh. And we are concerned with fleshly things. But that same mind can dwell in the realm of the heaven. And will be concerned with heavenly things. Hallelujah. Think about it. Think about it. Just think of the thing that is of greatest interest to you. Really look at it. Maybe it's food. You take some round things, put in your mind, and you're happy. You also can be happy by thinking about God. Amen. Just think, whatever you think that is like, when you do it, you are in, on top of the world. That same thing is vanity, really. You can think of God and you are exploding. Like, people are looking at you, they say, what's making him happy? But he's thinking about God. His mind is crying. He says, you will rise up like eagle. That's the mind. He says, as high as the heavens are higher than the earth, that is how my thoughts are higher than your own thoughts. So I say, God, I don't want my own thoughts. God can take my thoughts and take it to the height of heaven. So it says, therefore we shall sing together. Where? In the height of Zion. Hallelujah. And there we shall dwell together for the goodness of the Lord. For wheat, for wine, for oil, for the calf, all those things. Brethren, there is a place of peace, of happiness that we can be. And we have been given those things. Many of us, we have a telephone, but we are using it for chatting. Don't chat with it. This thing is given to you so that you can hide the word of God. Because it's when you hide that you will overcome sin. The besetting sin you are struggling with, as I'm struggling with, I say, God, help me. Help me to hide this word. Because if I hide, that word that is in me will fight it. Hallelujah. I will cast it out of me. Amen. Foreigners have taken over my soul. I need energy stronger than those foreigners to drive them out. And that energy is called the seventh trumpet. It is a message of change. See, the trumpet shall sound, and we shall be changed. Amen.
Amen.
So, we are in the time of change. We are in the time of change. God expects every one of us to sit down. We have to sit down with our soul. Say, my soul, sit down. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. After all this one we have done, you need to sit down. Say, my soul, sit down. Amen. Hallelujah. And you will take a decision. Amen. So that my soul, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. My soul, worship the Lord. That means I have to find ways to hide my word, hide the word of God. That is, it must be a project that we are doing. That is, we are working. I can give you a few tips. Today, after this message, pick one scripture. Not two. One, just one. Pick it. It's okay. Use scripture, me and you. We are going to today. Anytime you have a free time, go to that scripture. Open it. Open that scripture. Start looking at it. If you have a reference Bible, check another reference about that scripture. Ask God a question. This scripture, why did you say honey? Why not butter? Why not marmalade? Why not garri? Why? The last time you're asking why? Your mind is on the... Hallelujah.
Amen.
Do you know why? The secret of overcoming is that your mind must be open to the word of God. That is the secret. Keep your mind on a scripture. As you are waking up in the morning, never leave your house without a scripture. Whether you want to write it, whether you want to copy it, you put it on it. And all these young people, you have many ways of, do it. Put it, write it on your wall, on your house, anywhere. That's what God told them. You must think about it on your road, when you are sitting down, teach it to your children. He was saying a principle. Because the mind is the gate. Proverbs says, I, wisdom, stand at the gate. Where is the gate? The gate is the soul. It's the entrance. The entrance into the soul is the mind. Think about it. Nothing will enter your soul unless you go through the mind. Is it temptation? Is it temptation? None of them will go. It's when you think about it that he goes in. Amen. Brethren, we must fight this war. We must win it. Are you here? Amen.
Amen.
We must win this war. I must win it. So when you say, when we are thinking I must go forward, don't think of going forward in winning contract. Well, that way is also good. Amen. I must go forward means that my mind must dwell on the word of God. And the Bible says, blessed is the man. Amen. Who does not walk, who does not stand, who does not sit. What does he say? But his delight. Amen. It's in the word of Allah. And on it does he meditate day and night. May I define meditation for you? Forget those rascals who are running around and say that I can carry all those people, leave all those things. Meditation is for me and you. It's a hey, this brother has come now. Meditation is what? Focusing your mind for a specific period of time on a subject. That's called meditation. So if I put Christ in front of me and I'm meditating on Christ, what is that? It's meditation. And when you, he says, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is what? Stayed on thee. Try it. When your mind is on the scripture, you will begin to see things. God will begin to open up that scripture. The scriptures, the Bible says that they will do for themselves. They will not want. That is, they run. You see how they connect. Genesis, Revelation, India, all of them, they are all flowing. Amen. Because your mind. And he says, shall prosper in this season. So when offense comes, you say, no door here. Hallelujah. That brother is my brother. Maybe he didn't eat Gary today. God, give him Gary. And the devil will run away from you. Amen. Hallelujah. Say, let the word of God dwell richly. Amen. Who will make the word of God dwell richly in you? Is it me? Well, I can only tell you. You can only encourage me. But I must make out time. I must design a time. That's the thing about being spoon-fed. Amen. How many people here have a quiet time? Say that's scripture union. This scripture union alone. How many people have a time of fellowship? You are fighting tooth and nail for it. Get ready for what? Because the devil will fight you because he knows that's your strength. A time when you are in God, when you are, you bring your mind. But you see, you can have quiet time all the time. Say, pray without ceasing. Amen. Brethren, we are talking about practicalities of warfare. And you are in your lowest place. Something comes and hits you on your body. Say, it's cancer. cancer has come. You better fight and bind the spirit and cast it out. Hallelujah. How will you be able to? If you are in a low place. Brethren, there are things flying. There are wild spirits who don't hear English language. They have been released. Why they have been released? Because God has given you authority. He says, there was an angel that came, bind the devil and put him in his bottomless pit and close it. We have the authority to bind and send them to abyss. And you can say, God, this one is a very bad one. Let him not come out again. And that's the end.
Amen.
Amen. Tell God, say, this one is a very bad spirit. Let it, we don't want him again. Let him not come again. Say amen now.
Amen.
You see, it's not very loud. Say amen.
Okay.
Amen. We have to bind the spirit. Something comes to your head, say, hey, I'll go to clinic tomorrow. You have already accepted you are going to clinic. You have already fixed appointment in your mind. Ordinary headache, you are going to clinic. Oh, yeah, no, go. They say, hey. You will call another one. Hey, say they have hyper. You have carried hyper. Amen. The devil came to test you. So let's test him and see whether he knows what he's doing. And they see that, oh, okay, I'll go to clinic tomorrow. Oh, yeah, nah. Before you go, they're waiting for you. Even when there's nothing wrong with you, do you know that the devil can affect the thermometer? Don't you know that the devil can affect the thermometer and make it high? In fact, they're not seeing, when instead of seeing one, you see 100.
Okay. No.
You will read it wrongly. I said, oh, doctor, hey, potential. So be very, very careful. It is a spiritual warfare. And the battle is in the mind. Hebrews 9:4 says that the man, every day he came, that the Old Testament could not solve his problem regarding the conscience. Amen. The blood is for the conscience. The blood is for the conscience. Let's talk about it. Conscience is an aspect, in fact, is what the Bible calls the loins of the mind. It is the place where the soul takes a decision. It is the place of mental judgment. When you say this is good and when you say this is wrong. But the Bible talks about an evil conscience. That is, when you call good evil and you call evil good. Amen. And the devil has gone and he has what? Seared the conscience. You know what the Bible says? Say amen. Now it's conscience. Now it's in your Bible. Amen. It's in your Bible. He seared the conscience. It's called the loins of the mind. Let me tell you something. In the Old Testament, the priest, the first cloth he wears is what? He has to wear what? What they call linen breeches to cover his loins. That's a natural priest. Tell me about the spiritual priest. What cloth will he wear? You cannot be a priest unless your breeches are covered by linen. Righteousness in the mind. In the mind. Hallelujah. Because the mind is the place where life is coming forth. And if the devil goes there and has seared it, life cannot come. It becomes hardened. Hallelujah. But God is in the repair process. He says, let this man be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. He says, therefore, bring yourself as a living sacrifice. Be you renewed in the spirit of your mind. Hallelujah. So, I'll close. But brethren, the tabernacle they taught us is not to put it on the shelf. Walk in it. And the key is that you must walk as a priest. See yourself as a priest. Every priest must bring offering. 5 offerings. This morning we brought one offering. It's called trespass offering. That's what we brought this morning. Trespass offering is when you deal with relationship between you and your brother. It's called trespass offering. You don't need to wait till here to come on Sunday to bring the trespass offering. Bible says check yourself to know whether you are in the faith. You must build a habit of checking yourself. And if you are sensitive, you know when something has happened. We know, it's just that we are not sensitive enough. Amen. Nobody needs to tell you. In your street, you know something is not wrong, is not right between me and this brother. Bible says, well, thank God for this one. Bible says, if you have so, what do you do? Go to the brother. Go to the sister. Amen. If it's far away, go to God. Say, God, I forgive. Start to pray for the person. Amen. And that deals with it. And even after the one we have done today, come. If I'm part of the problem, after this, catch me, sit me down, say, brother, you are the problem. I will lie down for you and say, forgive me. Amen. Amen. Say amen now. Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Because we must get it right. Last Sunday I sat down here, God said, go and stand up. I didn't quite have time. But God said, go and tell them, anybody who has something against me should forgive me. Brother, Mike did it for you today. So please, if you have something, just forgive me, because this brother here, I have a lot of problems, so, but God is helping me. Amen! Hallelujah! So don't go home and go and do religion. Grab the brother. If you are 10 of you waiting for me, I will finish today, I will go. Amen! When you go home, get your wife, say, sister, sit down. Don't call her dear me or honey, say, call her sister, sit down. Let us talk. Settle it. Amen. Deal with it. And when you go to make peace, you do not
pursue your cause.
That is the law of peace. You haven't said anything, but you say so and so yesterday. Forget it. You are going there. If a brother says something to you and you got angry, that is the repentance. That is the fact that you got angry against your brother. That is what you are repenting for. Leave him and God, whether he kicked you, he didn't kick you. If he didn't get angry, Bible says, where there is no tear, there is no sin. You know so. If a man comes against you and you don't feel bad, the Bible will run away. Say, this one is a spirit. Let me run away. He will run away. Because he's trying to make you angry. He's like, someone be a brother. I'll go. He says, give me bride. He says, me. If I have committed offense, what do you have done? I'm ready to die now. The man ran away. He ran away. Yesterday, they called me yesterday. I was going to President's house. This man was directing me a pass. I was using my back. One man came with motorcycle. He said, who are you? He said, well, don't drive back. I said, oh, God, forgive me. He said, no, go to police station. So I entered. I took my phone. I said, Sister Uzin, there's a man here wearing police uniform. I don't know who he is. So he said, I should go. Please pray for me. Because I don't know. The man asked me, which church are you? He said, which church are you? I said, yes. He said, where are you? I said, yes. I said, yes, now. After that, it's okay. He came out. He directed me and I entered. Amen.
Amen.
So there is offense because there is somebody who got offended. Hallelujah. So when you are not offended, there is no, the man will run away. He said, this one is the spirit. Let me just leave you. Amen. So that is the practicality of it. So that is trespass offering. There is a sin offering. That is the matter of sin between you and God. You must be practicing it on a daily basis. There should not be any time when there is a sin you have not dealt with. Then you're not a priest. Because this is the priest. Your mind is the priest. You are the temple. Your mind is the priest. Amen.
Amen.
So when you practice it, you always keep clean. There is nothing that you have. Bible says, my little children, do not sin. However, if you sin, you have an advocate. Amen. Deal with it immediately. Amen. The Bible says a righteous man will fall. How will a righteous man fall? Because there is still darkness. Deal with it. And then there is a third one called consecration offering. That is where you give your all. When you wake up in the morning, give all to God. As you are driving on, you say, Lord, I give myself to you. Keep your mind. Say, I give my mind to you. I reject this Nigerian mind. I reject this. That is the thought of your heart. You are overwhelmed by God. Amen. Then there is the peace offering. When you give your emotions, that is the liver, the fat, all those things speak of the inward part. You bring it. Say, God, you know about this certain thing. You know about this one. Deal with me. As you say, let us pray. You start praying. Start crying. Say, God, deliver me. That is your peace offering. So if you make it a habit of always bringing an offering, there will always be fire on the offering. Don't you understand? Some of us do not have fire because there is no offering. There cannot be fire without offering. You know, so when they brought Abraham, he made an offering, and the fire came from heaven. If you want fire, give God an offering. Amen. And the Bible says you must not appear before him empty. You must have an offering in your heart. So you are coming to fellowship, you have an offering. As you came this morning, do you have an offering in your heart? Or you say, let me go and hear them. Let me go to their church. You are in the wrong place. Their church is somewhere else. Because you are church. Hallelujah. You are church. That's what we teach. That you are church. Amen. You are coming to gather with other churches. Because in my father's house, there are many mansions, many dwelling places. And when we bring our fires together, it's an explosion of fire. Amen. That's what fellowship should be. And I was happy today that Brother Mike came. And you see, our fellowship should not be predictable. After 11 o'clock, Brother Isaac will preach this one. So the man said, well, I know what they're doing now, that Isaac is preaching. When I teach this, I will come. Because by the time you come, like Brother Chief will come. The angel has gone. That he came to do for you. You are not there. He has carried the blessing of God. Amen. That should create excitement in our hearts. He says, I was glad when they said, let us go. Because you don't know what's going to happen. Amen. Because God will visit his people. And they look for you. You are not there. You pass over. Amen. Let me end with this encouragement. When the death angel, by the way, his name is Abaddon. Death angel is called Apollyon or Abaddon. It had landed in Egypt. Hallelujah. I want to tell you that some people overcame that spirit. That's all. I just want to leave you with that. Amen. Don't let anybody tell you that this thing nobody can overcome is not true. Bible said that when I see the blood, hallelujah, I will pass over. It's a promise. Some people overcame that death angel. In fact, the angel ran away when he saw the light. Hallelujah. Brethren, all that I'm saying here is summarized in one word, light. Our light must increase. And light must become our nature. That is the dress of a bride. What is it in Revelation 12? Say you saw a woman clothed with the sun. Hallelujah. That is the nature of the bride. And it is that bride that will bring forth the man child. That is going to bring forth that expression that God is looking for on the earth. Amen. I used to think that there must be 1 million people, no? God, if God gets one man, it's okay. Because through the obedience of one man, salvation will come to all. Amen. So, what happens with you is very, very important. Don't think that I used to think, God, there's so many people that go to Kenya, problem everywhere. God said, no, you're looking at the wrong thing. By one man's disobedience, sin entered. By another man's obedience, sin entered, and deliverance entered. So, if I overcome, he said, I'm overcoming for all. Hallelujah. So, your overcoming is going to affect the history of the devil. Amen. So, what happens with you is important. You must fight. You must labor. You must struggle. If you fall, rise up and keep going. Amen. So, the thing is, oh, no, this is what happened. Don't let the devil sell anything to you. Even Moses, the giant called Og and Sihon, what happened to them? The Bible said that Moses slew all of them. Amen. You can overcome these giants in emotion. Somebody has done it. The giants, God brought them down. Hallelujah. So, the days of saying, my problem is too big, my problem is, brethren, is over. We are now in the midst of war, and God expects every one of us to be strong. He told the man, you are a mighty man. Say, me? Mighty man. God said, you are a mighty man. Because God saw something in him. There is a strength in us that God is speaking to. He's not speaking to your problem, to the circumstance. He's speaking to the strength. The man said, oh, Gibeonites, Midianites, they've taken an axe. They have done so. God said, leave it. Thou mighty man of valor. Go and fight. The man went in the night. Praise God. Go in the night. But you have gone. Amen. Go in the night. But you have gone. Amen. That's what I want to tell you. Go in the night. Anything you want to do, do it. Don't set too much standard for yourself. Start little and build. Amen. Start little and build. And when you go to God, God will visit you. God will surely visit you. And in visiting you, he will bring salvation to us. Amen. Because there will be a people that will overcome, brethren. And the Bible said that we are not of them that draw back, but we are those that press on to the saving of the soul. The soul must be saved. That's the captive of the Lord. The soul is the treasure of God. What shall it profit a man to gain all the world and lose his soul? So when he sent Jesus, it was for the soul. And he judged sin in the flesh. Hallelujah. Everything that you see has been judged already. Has been judged already. Bitterness has been judged. Anger has been judged. Lust has been judged. By the way, they brought the woman to David. The Bible said that David did not enter into her. Don't you understand? The man fell. They said, fine, we'll get another chance. They put the damn cell. Don't you understand? And the man was getting hit. The Bible said, nevertheless, the man did not go in. The man overcame. Don't you understand? God will give us another chance. Okay, just say amen. Hallelujah. And that is an opportunity to overcome. And the Bible says, if the man falls seven times, that means don't give up. Hallelujah. It's never too late. Amen. Keep pushing forward. And it's a spiritual warfare. And the focus and the target is very clear. And the Bible says that he has already overcome for us. So this is the victory that overcometh the world. And he said, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. Amen. God says, I myself will go and drive them out. Don't you understand? So he has sent his spirit. It is the spirit of what? Adoption. Don't you understand? It is a spirit that changes name. It changes nature. That is the job of the spirit. You don't need to say, oh, spirit, change me. Well, you need to do that. But the spirit wants to change you more than you want to change. Hallelujah. Because it is a spirit of adoption. It has been commissioned to make you and me a son. And I cannot be a son without the spirit of my father. So he has sent forth his spirit, making us to cry, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. He is working to establish the kingdom of God in our soul. The first kingdom has been won, the spirit. Now it remains the real kingdom, that is the soul. Amen. The spirit of God must win the soul. Brethren, that's where the warfare is. That is where we as a people must zero in on. On the soul. I don't know how to, maybe I should write soul on every chair here. Amen. Hallelujah. That is the name of the game. And the New Testament is about the soul. Amen. And he has sent his spirit. I say, if the same spirit that raised Jesus, that same spirit will quicken us. Amen. And he has given us of his word. And he has given us of the blood. Say, they overcame him by the blood. Hallelujah. Every morning, you must anoint your emotions with the blood. Hallelujah. When you see a bad teacher, anoint your mind with the blood. Hallelujah. They said, first look is not your problem. It's the second look that is your own problem. Is it not so? Amen. So, use the blood to stop the second look. Amen. It's by practice. Hallelujah. As soon as Zion travail, will overcome. So you overcome by the blood. The blood is there. Apply it in your mind. You wake up in your mind and say, God, I bring the blood upon this temple. I cleanse my mind. I cleanse my emotion. By the way, while you were sleeping, the blood was already cleaning you. Don't you understand? Don't you feel cleaner? When you quarrel with your husband in the night, wake up in the morning, you feel fresh. You love him. Okay, so it's only me that has that experience. In the night, I was feeling bad. Now, I feel very, very good. Because the blood has been washing. Hallelujah. You saw the brother 3 weeks ago. You didn't like him. You see him now. Something rises up within you. You love him. Because the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. Hallelujah. That blood is washing all the time. It will always wash. Let us come to the blood. Let us abide in the blood. Abide in the word. Abide in the spirit. These are the three instruments of warfare, overcoming. We have these things that we don't know how to use the blood. Leave the lizards and those things alone. Use the blood for the article in the temple. What is the article in the temple? Every article in the temple was sanctified by the blood. Do you sanctify yourself by the blood? Amen. Make a practice. Use the blood. Hallelujah. Come against those spirits by the blood. Stand by the blood. When you want to preach, don't preach by your strength. Preach by the strength of the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when you do that, you will see that there's a practicality that comes to it. Praise the Lord. Okay. There are two things. There are four things I was to talk about the natures of the mind. Yes, I've mentioned two: the knowledge, and I mentioned conscience. I've left out two important ones. Okay, so let me take it from the beginning. Now, the first part of the nature is the mind. Now, is knowledge, the nature of knowledge. That is the place of perception, perceiving things, being aware of things around you, and being aware also of godly things, being aware of the realm of the spirit. By the time we grow and we are matured in the things of knowledge, we will know as we are known. Amen. The barrier will be taken away. The Bible said that when I was a child, I behaved like a child. I see through the glass dimly. But the time is come when I shall know. As I am known. That means the barrier will be taken away. That you can see God. You can talk with God. You can relate with God. Amen. Someone says, in my flesh, I shall see God. Amen. That's the knowledge. That's the first one. And the Bible said that my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And that the fear of God is the beginning of knowledge. Knowledge. That is, if you think of the computer must receive information. They build the computer based on what they know about the mind. The computer works like a mind. Brahma, you know so? Okay. So they say garbage in, garbage out. So information must first come to the soul. So the mind is the sixth sense of the soul. There are five senses out there, but the mind is the sixth as a nature. And the knowledge is the entrance from which light comes into the soul. Now, the information that comes into the soul must be analyzed. That is called understanding. Understanding means ability to differentiate one thing from the other. You say, this chair is this chair. There's another chair. So it's called understanding. Now, it's from there you get the word logic, logismo. That means the process of thought process, the thinking, the different processes of thought. Okay, that is the second nature of the soul, of the mind. That is understanding. The third aspect of the mind is what you call conscience. Because whatever has come into you, which you have understood, you must make a decision on it. Is it of God or is it not of God? Is it good or is it evil? So that is the seat of judgment. That is, you're able to determine that this is God. Now, when the soul has determined that this is good or evil, it must respond to it. And it is that response that you call wisdom. So you have knowledge, understanding, conscience, wisdom. Wisdom is the aspect that has to do with the working out, the aligning all the four aspects of the soul towards a particular cause. Okay, so it says wisdom is the principal thing. Because the actions you take, it says what he did was not wise. You understand? So it has to do with the way you carry yourself. You apply the members of your soul. That is wisdom. Okay, and those four natures are within the dimensions of the mind. And when you look at the scripture, Proverbs, all those things, they talk about those things. And he said that wisdom, I stand at the gate. He's speaking of the mind. At the entrance. At the traffic. And I call to those who are simple. Now, being simple means not having wisdom. Not having understanding in the things of God. So, now, these natures are the things that govern the soul. Now, if you notice, every part of emotion, desire, and will are connected with the mind. If they start flying plantain here now, and themselves, yes. If you start flying plantain here now, what happens? You start feeling good. What has the plantain in Ugochukwu's house got to do with my emotion? They start feeling good. And when I start feeling good, what happens? Something starts over here, water starts coming to my mouth. And then the next thing, what do I say? I say, after this meeting, I will go and eat. So the will has come in. Desire has come in. So the mind is connected to the will, to the emotions, and to the desire. I only need to go to the meeting. I'm fast, you know. I just enter there, and then I see the meat pie. I said, God. I said, after all, I can end this fast now. I end the fast. Only smell of meat pie. Hallelujah. Because no energy. The devil flashes a picture on your face. You see with your eyes. Eve saw. And she desired. Say it was good. Is it not so? And she took. So that is the functioning of the soul. That is what you do every day. And the devil knows it. He's telling you. He pointing you outside. Meanwhile, where the battle should be taking place, you leave it fallow. Amen. But we are no longer ignorant of his devices. Amen. So when they flash the picture, I go to my soul. I say, yes, what's your problem? My soul, sit down. We're not going there. Amen. So David said, my soul, sit down. Praise the Lord. My leg has almost slipped to hell. But I encouraged myself in the Lord. And he brought himself back. Because the man understood his soul. Read how many souls you will see in the Psalms. Because he was a man that knew. He says, my soul longeth after thee, O Lord. As the water, as the heart pants after, so panted my heart after thee. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's all about the soul. That is you. You are the temple. And your mind, your emotions are the priest, are the places of offering. And the devil will come and defy you, and the whole thing is defied. Some of us have looked at pictures. The Bible says, when you drive them out, destroy the pictures. Amen. The Bible says, you know what is a molten image? A molten image is actually a drink offering. It's poured out. It's poured it out. So in the Old Testament, they say the molten image is like a drink offering. Now, when they pour it out, it is cast and it becomes strong. Now, do you think you are going to destroy it by just, you crack it? It means, if you want to, the man took stone and ground it to powder. So there are things that have become molten images in us. Some of us have personal idols, and it is in the mind. And it has become a molten image. That means we have strengthened that idol over time. So it is individualized to us. Amen. Say, this is my house. I don't know any other house. You want to drive me out? You have to fight for it. The Bible says that when you make a war against a strong city, what do? Say, you encircle it. Yes, you identify it and you begin to fight against it. So the molten images, these images in our mind must be destroyed. The altars must be broken down. The high places must also be dropped. So these are things. So even when the inhabitants have gone, they still leave some remnants. There are leftovers. Amen. So we have come out of Babylon, but inside us, a lot of relics of Babylon. Their pictures are there. The pictures are there. So, they say, don't do this. You do it in your mind. Don't wear trousers. You wear the trousers in your mind. Who is more guilty? Don't do so. So, Jesus says, it's not a question. Say, if you sin after the woman in your heart, you have already committed adultery. Amen. So, there are images in our mind, brethren. And we need to get to work. Say amen. Church must get to work on the images in the mind. The pictures must be erased. How would you erase the picture? By another picture. Amen. You erase the bad picture with a good picture. So you put the word of God before you. Look at it every day. After some time, the old picture will be superimposed. You know what you put in the computer? You can have another picture and put on top and swallow the other one and it goes away. So we can remove the pictures by the word of God. And that is why the renewal of our mind is by the word. So those are the four natures. And it's practical. And that's what the New Testament teaches. That we must renew the mind. And by the entrance of the Word of God. So those are the four natures. I'm just summarizing them, but I'm sure we will have time to look at them. We'll look at, go to scriptures, look at them, look at the old. And I encourage you, go and study it. You will see. Say Nebuchadnezzar, say I, say that my thoughts came into my mind in the night season. Isn't that so? And that my understanding returned. Even Nebuchadnezzar, his understanding was changed to that of a beast. But a time came when the understanding of a man came into him. That's how we also are going to receive the understanding and the mind of Christ. And when we receive that mind, we will be changed. So that he came in and began to behave like a normal man once more. So right now, we are just behaving like this. We are driven by this law that has come into us. But God is giving us grace to be able to rise up and overcome this spirit. And then take possession of our soul. Amen. And when we do that, you say, the soul has been saved. The soul can be saved. Praise God. So, I don't know, is there any question? Yes, some people have raised their hands. Please, let's have the questions now. You agree, there are five senses in the body. Are we agree with that? Every sense in your body is also in the mind. Do you want the scripture for that? Every sense in your body is also reflected in the spirit. Okay, so what's the first one? Sight. Do you see with your mind? Hearing. Do you hear in the spirit? You hear a voice, you look around, you don't see anybody. Where do you hear it? So those five senses are in the soul. And then the mind itself is the channel. That is the east gate. So the mind is like a sensory organ. Let me give you an example. Have you seen a dog? What is special about the dog? There are two things special about the dog. Does it have a small nose? Have you seen any dog that has it? Okay, some have. But the dogs that they use in the police, they all have big nose. Why? Because they are there to smell. So it's a prominent part of their nature. How about their ears? Are their ears small? Very long. And when they pick up senses, the ears stand. So that's in nature. So God made you so that you can hear and relate to Him. So the mind is the major part of the soul. Alright? So the mind has the ability to hear God, to communicate with God. You understand? Now, if you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It shows the link. Can we? Let's have it on the board. You'll see the link between the Spirit of God and the mind of God. I don't want to draw on the board because it will distract me. You know. So, come down. 1 Corinthians 2. 1 Corinthians 2. But we see the wisdom of God in the mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God is then before the world unto our glory. Which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified. Now look at 9. It is written, I have not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has revealed or prepared for him, for them that love him. And we have stopped there. It didn't stop. The next verse says, but God has revealed them to us by His Spirit. Now, when you read scripture, you say, us. Who is us? Is it your leg? Is it your leg? It's the soul. The soul is the man. The soul that sinneth, he shall die. The soul has a spirit from God and lives in a body. So when he says, I reveal them to us, he's speaking, reveal to the soul by his spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. So, okay, let's have the, if you have the marker, I didn't want to take time. But the Bible says that the Spirit of God is in fellowship with our own spirit. So, the spirit of man is in fellowship with the spirit of man, with the soul of man. And that's what the next verse says. Okay, verse 11. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit. So you see two spirits. The spirit of God knowing the things of God, the spirit of man knowing the things of a man. And we know that the spirit of God and the spirit of man are linked. He said that the spirit of God is witnessing to our spirit that we are the sons of God. Okay, so that is the link. Now look at verse 12. Of the spirit of God, yes. Okay, so the spirit of God unctions and ministers to the spirit of man and gives light to the inward parts of the belly. So there's the connection. But look at verse 12. He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know. Do you see the word know? If you, okay, touch that know, put interlinear on the know. Where is that? 12, yes. That we might know, Edo, yes. Okay? Okay, I didn't want to get to this point, but this has to do with seeing. Perception, beholding, being aware, that's knowledge. Okay? Because if you look at Hebrews 8, verse 11, it says that no man shall say to his brother, know the Lord, because they shall all know me. There are two words used. The first one is ginosko, and the second one is this one, eido. Alright? So, those two ones, that are translated know, but that has to do with knowing God intimately, being aware of God. Yes, that I may know him and all that. We will look at Hebrews. I was just rushing. I didn't want to. If you can open another scripture, open another Bible alongside, then get Hebrews 8 on that one. Hebrews 8. Hebrews 8, verse 11. Okay, put interlinear on it, on 11. Okay, it says, no man will need to say to his neighbor or his brother, therefore, know the Lord. That's this one. Okay, so it says, know the Lord, for they shall all know me. So this is, you know, so that's for they shall all see me. They shall all know me intimately. Alright? So, that is one. But let's go back to that First Corinthians. I wanted to show something there. Verse 12. Okay, yes. Verse 12. So now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Look at verse 13. Which things we also speak, not in the feelings which man's wisdom teacheth. Is that what he says? Where do words come from? From the mind. Okay? So which things we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but in the words which the Holy Ghost teacheth. So God will speak to you, and he will speak to the mind. So the mind of man is in fellowship with the Spirit of God. So it says, the ones that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. So words are spiritual, and that is what MTN, Glow. That's why they're making millions. They're based it on the principle that words are spirit. You send somebody a text message, it's hanging in the air. Cloud computing. What is cloud computing? It is the principle of spirit. The man was a Buddhist. He was a spiritualist. He knew. He broke through the law. Okay, for instance, Daniel, you know, the man had a dream. Is it not so? He said, tell me the dream. And then I know you have understanding. Daniel went and told him the dream. And told him, how, where did Daniel hear the words? Don't you understand? Moses wrote and the Lord said. Where did Moses hear and the Lord said? David says, the Lord said to my Lord, sit down at my right hand. How did he hear it? It was in the spirit. So it says that every word which you speak, you will give account. Why? Because every word you have spoken, I have spoken, is in the spirit. If you tune to the frequency of God, you hear the word of God. Amen. So if God says to brother A, marry sister A. Sister A, when she starts praying, will hear that same word. When the elders start praying, they will hear the same word. There is no mago-mago in it. It is simple. It is the same word. Because the word I speak to you, I speak to all. That is the principle of the word. It's spirit. Words are spirit. If you quarrel with somebody, if you are sensitive, you will know. You can feel the words. You can feel. Those of us who preach here will feel the thoughts of the people. Isn't that so? Yes. We know when you are tired. If you are sensitive, we know when you are tired. You know, so these things are spiritual things. They are spiritual things. So words are spirit. The devil has told us that words are not spirit, that they are from Ikwere. They are not from Ikwere. The words are spirit. And they are spiritually discerned. When we understand that, our life will change. So there is no distance. You stay here in this room. We say in the name of Jesus, we pray for brother Berman. God strengthen him. Really? You are here and you are praying for Berman in Abuloma. And he gets well. By what principle? He said that he healed them by the words that he spoke. By what principle? Don't you understand? By what principle? It's by the principle of spirit. So Jesus says that the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and life. So he says the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. That the word of God is living and powerful. Piercing to the dividing asunder of what? To the soul. And he said, discerner of the thoughts. He said, no, this brother, you know, they have told him everything I have did. It's the word of God. And the word of God is living. There's a living word of God. And it's amongst us. So, brethren, it's very clear that. So the mind is that entrance from where God speaks and comes into the soul. It's like a doorway. But the mind is also related to the emotions and so on. So it's also a doorway. But the principal doorway is the mind. And he says, there that I can mind everything. So where your mind is determines the nature, who you are, and whether you will overcome or not. Praise God. Yeah, prefer your sister. Okay. Okay. Speak louder now. It's yes. Okay, she said, I said, the Spirit of God said, that marriage is for overcoming. Yes. Now, marriage is not for dash. I'm sure you understand what I mean by dash. Do you know why? 1 Corinthians, is it not? Six says that the body is for who? It's for the Lord. And the Lord for who? For the body. So know that my body is for the Lord. Primarily. My body is for the Lord primarily. Now we dwell in the place of rebellion. They say no, it's my body. The woman has right over her body. She should determine when she wants to do this. See, that is rebellion. They're using HIV to introduce sexuality, gay marriage. That's how that's what gave them strength. It was HIV. Yes. That was the platform the devil chose, HIV. They began to promote, don't discriminate. They started pushing their leg. Now, they said, don't discriminate. And they said, okay, now if you do it sexually, how about the minorities? And who are the minorities? The gay man is a minority in the church. You don't know? There are religious minorities. Gay man, lesbian, the bestiality man is a minority in the church. So don't discriminate against him. They report you to, they arrest you. So what they have done is that they are pushing this thing. Okay. So so the principles are very clear what God wants marriage to be. Marriage is to enable both of the couple to overcome. All right? Now, the Bible says you should hold your vessel in sanctification and honor. All right? There should be honor and sanctification. It said that the bed is undefiled. Okay? And our marriage is honorable for all. So when I come together with someone, primarily for fellowship, the strength of that person is not made available to me. And the weakness of that person is made available to me so that I can overcome. Alright? Good. If you are married the right person, like I married the right person. Amen. That means that all the things I could not overcome. God, so here now. Is I here with you? You must overcome. Amen. Say amen now. Amen. If you marry the right person, the person will be the person to trigger up all the things you don't want to be triggered up. Amen. Say amen. I'm profuse. Amen. If you married right, God gave you somebody. So everyone is here now. Praise God. Overcome. Say, honey, I love you. Do you really mean this? We'll see now. By Friday, we'll know. You say, after Sunday, you have a lot of power. Friday, we'll know whether you still have power. Amen. So, God will bring people into your life so that you will overcome. Marriage is overcoming. Just like brethren too. God has people like me with you so that you can overcome. You must overcome people like me. Okay, you must overcome by weakness, by being tolerant. Okay, so by experience, you see that God gives you what you need as a compliment. But not just the negative, there's also the positive. God has brought someone to strengthen you, to encourage you when you are down, to speak the right words to you, and so on and all that. The physical aspect is there, it's important, but it has a proportion of importance. Children are also important, but they have a proportion of importance. So everything must have its rightful place. You won't say this one is not important. All of them are important in the right proportion, rightly dividing the relationship. What is important and what's not important. You know, so I'm sure those who are married know that you marry the right person because, oh, by the way, on Tuesday is my 25th year anniversary. How would I welcome, brother? For the first time you met me. How would I welcome? Okay. So we don't debate. Okay, so the marriage is for overcoming, and there are practical examples of that. Okay, any more questions before we pray? Because we must pray. Okay. Oh, Brother Ryan. Okay, ask a question. Okay. Okay. Did you understand it? Yes. I'm feeling bad because we already hit it 2:00. I'm sorry about it. There are so many things to cover. So let's explain that. Being in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit are not the same thing. Being in the flesh and walking in the flesh are not the same thing. Okay, so let's explain it this way. Every soul is in the Spirit. Every soul, every individual born in the world is under the influence of a particular kingdom, a particular spiritual kingdom. So it's either you are in under the influence of the kingdom of light or under the influence of the kingdom of darkness. So, soul can never and has never been open. So, the divine order is that the spirit rules over the soul and the soul rules over the body. If you put it the other way, if you want to be more spiritual, the Bible says every seed must have a body. So, the body of the soul is the human body And the body of the spirit is the human soul. And the body of the human spirit is the spirit of God. And Christ, the head of Christ is God. So that's the divine order that Paul gave us. So that God might be all in all. So the soul of man is round, down. And there are coverings over the soul of man. Amen. So when you say somebody is in the spirit, you're not saying that the soul is not under the influence. The soul of man must be under the influence of a higher spirit. Now, when someone is not born again, the Bible uses the term that is in the flesh. Now, that word flesh means the natural soulish nature of man without the divine influence of the Spirit of God. That's what the Bible calls flesh. So when they say someone is in the flesh, it means that that individual has not received the Spirit of God as a gift, as a work of salvation. Now, when someone receives the Spirit of God through receiving the blood of Jesus, when you receive the blood, there is an atonement, and the Spirit of God comes into you to witness in your heart that you are the Son of God. The Bible says we are not in the flesh, if so be that the Spirit of God dwells in us. That's one thing settled. Now, how about walking in the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit means when the soul carries out activities under the influence. So, I can be in the Spirit, but walk in the flesh. Does that need interpretation? I'm in the Spirit, I'm born again. But I tell lies. Has anybody told lies in this room? I have told lies before. But did that remove the Spirit of God from me? Paul said that the evil I don't want to do, I do. The good I don't want to do, I want to do, I don't have the power. Oh, wretched man. Do you understand? Now, that is the last verse. The next verse says, there is therefore no condemnation. So those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not in the flesh. So I hope you understand. So the task is, how do I walk in the Spirit? How do I... Let me explain it. You see, that has been the conflict. And the reason for that is the Pentecostal teaching. It's the teaching we received when we were in Pentecost. Because the people who taught it, they confused a lot of the issues. Now, to understand it is to know that, first of all, you are speaking of the soul. When you talk about the soul, okay, abiding in this and that. For instance, the Bible says, Christ in you is the hope of glory. What is the glory? When you say you, what is it? It is my mind, my desire, my will. Being in Christ to the point where my mind has lost control of itself. Where the Spirit of God is in complete control. Now, we don't have that all the time. So that's what you mean by in and out. Exactly. So when your mind is submitted to the Spirit of God, you are perfect. Alright? When I am under the Spirit of God, when I'm in the Spirit, I am perfect. I can do exactly what God wants me to do. But when I am in the flesh, that means my emotions, my mind are no longer under the control of the Spirit of God. Then at that point, I'm in the flesh. So that's what he's saying. Okay, so it's very clear. So Christ in you. Yes. Yes. Okay. No, no, he says, if we are in the spirit, let us walk. No, he says, let us. So it's a desire to. It's not saying you are. He says, if you are in the spirit, let us. That means we are being admonished as I'm doing now. Walk in that spirit. Continue to remain under the spirit. Because you can go out of the flesh. Go out of the spirit. Yeah, right. That's exactly what we're saying. You are supposed to. Exactly. But that is not the spirit. That's what Paul was lamenting. That's what Paul said, that when I desire good, I find myself doing evil. That's the point. So that's the reality. That as we are here now, to the extent that there is a darkness in you, means that that dimension of you is still not under the control of the spirit. And the, what we are saying is, like Paul is saying, we are supposed to be all the time under the control of the spirit. So that is where we are supposed to be going to. And anyone who has gotten there, praise God, that is, you have crossed over. You know, so that is the point where the soul is now in Christ. And that is what it means to have broken through the veil. The veil is the carnality, is the flesh. You know. And these are the things that we are dealing with. Our humanity, our mind, our experiences. It's a barrier. And we are being encouraged, if we are in the spirit, let us also walk in the spirit. So that's where we are going to. And that should be our quest. And he said that the flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. So there's a battle. You know. So we find out that we are in that place. But the point is that we don't have all the time to continue to battle, because if we're actually walking, then we should be getting stronger and stronger. We should be getting more and more in the spirit. So that we continue to abide continually in that place. Okay. Yes, yes. That's right. Of incense. That's right. God bless you, sister. That's right. Emotions, his emotions, his passions. You cannot. No. In fact, for me, that's the cap, because for me that has been the burden. All that we are saying today is about the golden altar. The golden altar is the place where you begin to deal with the soul. Now, that's why I was talking about the Day of Atonement. I didn't really get there. The Day of Atonement is the fifth experience, and it's the place where the soul is offered. And it says, on that day, you must afflict the soul. Now, why do you afflict the soul if the soul has not done anything? The reason why you afflict the soul is because there is darkness within the soul. So, It's a place where I must begin to bring my thoughts, my emotions, and my desires. And the more you open it, you begin to find out that I have grouped it under four. There are four things that must be done at the soul. One, the soul is a temple. It's the dwelling place of God. So it's either the soul is a dwelling place of God or it is a dwelling place of spirit. Okay? So God wants to dwell in my soul in fullness. But before God is there, when I'm born, there are spirits already dwelling in my emotions, in my, for instance, we're talking about forgiveness. And that is dealing with all the different aspects. You're talking about the emotion of hurt. You're talking about the desire to revenge. You're talking about the mind, where it's always in your mind. You're talking about your feelings, where you feel bad, feel bitterness. It's all about the soul. And there are spirits that are concerned. There are spirits. Some of them are ancestral. Some of them will have picked them up as we are growing up. And this is in the soul. And God is saying, you must bring them before me and begin to deal with them. Empty your soul out of it. Because if I do not deal with the spirit of bitterness in me, I cannot cross. Because the soul must be a virgin to be married to Christ. A virgin is a man or a woman that has not known man or woman. Now, in the spirit, what's a spirit? What's a virgin in the spirit? It means a soul that is not defiled by spirit. So, even that definition alone will make me lie down and say, God, have mercy on me. Because I must be a wise virgin. I must have oil in my vessel. Isn't that so? What's the vessel? It's emotions. It's the desire. Oil is the nature of Christ. It means that darkness has gone away. You know, so what should I say captures for me the burden I think God is giving to us. And we as a church, it is not our burden. We used to have it before and we missed it. We got sidetracked. Not just only us. If you go all over the church, it's the same thing. Everybody, in fact, we are struggling to come out of being a Pentecostal church. Even here. On Wednesday, Bro Hooper, I saw one big man here. Saw his spirit here. Sat down. Maybe Bro Hooper to share with you. So he had his vision. So the spirit was here. There was an altar call. I was making an altar call. The spirit said what? In my church. Stood up and began to lay hands on people. Wednesday. So the man is there, he will tell you. So brethren, we are dealing with a spirit, a Pentecostal church spirit. Church spirit. Here. So, I mean, it's not that we're even talking about crossing over. Now we are talking about going back. Because that means you are going back to religion, church. And God is saying, brethren, come out. Come out means come out. The spirit of religion must come out of us. That is the offering of the soul. So the soul that is being presented to Christ must be virgin. And it must have a nature, the nature of light. That means the only way to get nature of light means all the darkness has been cast away. So that is the golden altar, the offering of the soul. So please, go and get the book, read Brother Seth's message. There are so many messages on the golden altar, on the internet. Is there on the Living website? Is there Sunlight Gospel? Is there so many places? There are books. And you can also go to God and say, God, what is this thing? How do I offer my soul? What does it mean to me practically? You know, today, have I offered my soul? What are you saying? The man, God promised him a son. He got the son. God said, kill the son. God was asking for his emotion. Can you imagine the man? Every step he took, it was his emotion, his desire, his whole livelihood was in that son. You know, so my only son. God says, kill him. Maybe, I don't know whether he was bitter with God. So which kind of God is this? Every day was going. Finally, he offered. So, and he actually slew the son in his heart. And God raised him up. So that is, you know, the golden altar. That's the experience of dealing. Somebody has hurt you, bring it down. And God says, forgive. He said, I will not forgive. I'm from Ndoki. Ndoki people don't forgive. Ndoki people, when we have enemies, the enemy is forever. That means my soul, God says, come out of your country. Come out of your tribe. Come out of what? Family. That is the soul. So, brethren, this is our practical. And God is calling us, brethren, to go back to the message. This was the message that brought us out to overcome in the flesh. Death to self. That's where there is power. Anything that is not death to self, God will not anoint it. You will just become a Pentecostal church. Today, I will lift up my hand in praise. For I know I have eaten in the morning, I will eat in the afternoon. Evening is waiting for me. Yes. You know. So I'm so happy. I pray that brethren, we all will repent and respond to God. We have not followed this word. We turn back. Because it's all yeah, turn back again and take your way. Go over this Jordan. Jordan means death. And Jordan is the distance, the difference between the outer court and the holy place. That is the baptism into the holy place. It's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because you have been baptized into the promised land. And that is the work, you know, he's calling us to. You know, so the message is very clear what God is saying. We as a people, we must go back. Begin to study these things. Not just study, live in them. Walk in them. Talk about it. Sing about it. For me, every song must be about it. Every testimony must be about it. Everything we do, we must speak to it. And if you talk about it, then it will become clearer. We will understand it better. It will be broken down. And there are some of us who are sitting down who do not have understanding, who will not ask questions. After this, like, carry your Bible, go to your house. Ask questions. If you don't have time, when we will come the next fellowship, we will continue. And let's break it down. Let's talk about it. Let's understand it. The children must know. The adults must know. So the older people know. The newer ones don't know. So we need to create a platform to talk about it. So if you don't know, don't pretend as though you know. Because it's a race of life. Ask. Write it down. Anyone who can't finish today, we will continue. For me, that is my own approach on it. Praise God. Roy Rice, okay. I think you should come here, sir. I think I'll
draw attention to the question concerning the sixth sense. The fact that the thing that agitates the heart there is the fact that when you hear sixth sense, our minds go to Ekanka and occultism. And to say that
the reason why I'm rushing is so wide. So I appreciate that it may not be clear. That's why if you have any question, write it down. We will deal with it. But let's deal with that quickly. When you say six, man is a six-day man. Man was created on the sixth day. So there are six openings into the soul. There are six doorways. And we've called five of them. The sixth one is the mind. It's the mind gate. So that is the scripture. Alright? Man was created on the sixth day. And there are six entrances into his soul. And we have seen in the scripture that the mind is a gate. When you go and watch a photograph, you watch a bad picture, it defiles all of you. And spirits enter into you. Those who commit shoot, even violence, they watch all these things. And it all goes together. Spirit of violence, they come in. They go and take a child, rape the child, and kill the child. It's a spirit. You know, so, and it goes through the eyes as they look. There's a, there's a defiling. So it's very clear. Those, maybe Isaac will speak, those who are involved in deliverance, they will tell you that there are openings into the soul. You know, and the mind is a clear doorway through which spirits come into the soul of man. You know, so the scriptures are there, and we will have time to.
Amen.
So we're going to pray.
I want to share a few testimonies that have relationship to the word today. Amen. About a year ago, or more than that, I was ill. I'm saying this because of what Brother Joke said that something touches you, you feel, and he says it's cancer. So I was ill, quite ill, and I went to Omega. When I got there, Breze was not around, and I said, I want to see Breze particularly. So we were going with intent that we'll come another day or another time. Then Brocas, who was helping me to drive me that day, said, why don't we look at this pharmacy there? So we went into the pharmacy. The man said he wants to, first of all, check my BP. Now he did. And looked at me, he said, sir, sorry to tell you, you have to make up your mind that you're going to live with hypertension the rest of your life. Amen. But thereafter, we went back to Omega. Brother said, it's not true. Complete lie. It's just malaria. Malaria. Serious malaria. Amen. Praise God. So that's how the devil can try to sell, you know, these things to us. Amen. Then the other one has to do with what we are learning. How that yesterday a brother was teaching me, he doesn't know. This brother teaches me a lot of things, he doesn't know. For instance, he taught me that when I am driving and I hear, ooh, at the back of my car, just keep driving. Amen. So yesterday he said, taught me, if somebody calls you a witch, the proper reaction is that you go to that person and say, please, in every way that I have been or acted, yes, in any way that I have acted like a witch, please forgive me and pray for me so that I will no longer behave like a witch. He said that is what cures the thing. He said in most instances, if that person has any heart of God in him, he said, my brother, it was anger. You are not really a witch, but please don't behave like this anymore. Well, I'm trying to bring it down, you know. But most reactions is that somebody says you're a witch. Me? He called me a witch. Then you call him something else. Or you know, there will be quarrel. But if you just go and say, I'm sorry, in any way that I've been a witch, forgive me. Because the truth is that for that person to say you are a witch, there is something you must have done that gave him the impression, or he interpreted it to mean that you are a witch. Or something that you did that he feels that how he will get at you or pay you back or satisfy himself for the hurt you gave him is by calling you a witch. So if you go and apologize, then both of you will be healed. Another one is that I'm thanking God concerning this scripture that says, do not let the sun set on your anger. Over the years, this scripture has been a bother. I have never been able to explain it well. Amen. Explain it well. You know, because we would say, so like Brother Joke said, try to paint it. We would say, okay, I have between now and 4 p.m. to deal with this, to be angry. Then I make sure that before the sun sets, it goes down. But as the word came today, I came to understand it, praise God, that do not let the sun set on your anger. You have the light of God in your life, the sun in your life. If you allow anger to dwell and you brood on anger, it's going to cause the sun to set. Amen. Yes, the anger will cause your sun to set. It will quench your light. Amen. It will bring darkness. You know, we are talking about, like me, I said, if it were something you do physically, I was going to put an inscription or make a face cap. You know, this type of cap, they write things. My son got one, they wrote element. He's so excited. So that I will get one and write war against darkness. Word. Amen. Amen. So we're talking about darkness. And we are saying that do not let the sun set on the matter of your anger. Don't keep your anger until it becomes a reason that the sun will set. Amen. It does not mean make sure you don't keep your anger until the sun sets. the anger will cause the sun to set. So don't give it any place. Amen. Hallelujah. So the summary, okay.
There are two things that we must have in mind. Please don't go. I'm not saying. As we respond, the first thing is that we must believe God. We must believe His word. There must be faith in our hearts that the word we hear and listen to is going to do that work in us. We must believe it. It's not just magical. You can't just speak it and say it and do it and automatically it happens. We must have faith in God. That's the first thing. And the second thing we must believe is that we must obey. There must be a working. So these are the two things. We need understanding. If we get the understanding, if God gives us the understanding, that's why He speaks to parable. He says, for those of us for whom the kingdom of God is meant, He speaks to them and they have understanding. If we have understanding, brethren, we must have faith in the Lord, in God that is giving us that word, that that word is going to accomplish the purpose in our lives. And the second thing is that we must believe it. And believing it is that you must add works to that faith. Amen. There must be faith, there must be works. It cannot be works only. There must be faith. It is not by power, it's not by might, but it's by the Spirit. There must be faith in our hearts. If you don't believe it, there's no way it can work out for you. It is the word that will come into your heart. If I don't believe it, I won't store the word in my heart. And it will not drive away the darkness. Amen. If we only face only one of it, you'll find out we'll get frustrated and we may begin to ask like Nicodemus, how will these things be? Told him you need to be born again. I begin to ask him, how will these things be? I'm sure that many of us, as the word comes, it looks as if it's so difficult. We begin to wonder, how will it be? I have struggled and struggled and struggled. I'm not able to keep my mind on the Lord. I'm sure some of us, sometimes you keep your mind on the word, and after about 1 or 2 weeks, the enemy comes and you find out that the ground that you have gained after some time, you lose it. And you go back to the earth. It starts from square one. But brethren, we must believe God, that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. As we give ourselves to these things, that God is going to help you. Praise the name of the Lord. So we